A lovely Tuesday evening out there to you, and a real pleasure to come your way once again. The dial is 97.3 City FM, and you're welcome to City Trends. My name is Philip Ashon, and City Trends is sponsored by Hoptel. So if you are a business owner out there and you are thinking or wondering about how exactly you can receive payments from your various clients and customers, and you're kind of confused about how there are so many different mobile, you know, platforms and so many different ways, and you just want convenience and ease by which you can receive all the money that your clients and your customers will be giving you, well, Hoptel says they have a very great solution for you. They have the one wallet solution for you. Hoptel is offering businesses one wallet to accept payments from all mobile money wallets. You don't need a new SIM to get paid. Now, that is just one way that Hoptel is making business much easier to do in Ghana and around the world today. So go ahead and visit the website hoptel.com/MOMO and you will get all the solutions that you want. Hoptel, rethink customer service. On the show today, cryptocurrency, the who, the what, the why, the when. We have a new segment on the show as well for you. We call it the how-to segment. Then you can be a part of the show with your thoughts via the WhatsApp number 054-998-6996. You can also reach out via Twitter using the hashtag CityTrends. You can get in touch with me directly, however, by messaging me on Twitter. My handle is at Kofi Ashon. And remember that Ashon doesn't have a G at the end. City Trends is live and interactive. And to kickstart the show, we start off with the how-to segment. So just to get your mind clear about what the how-to segment is all about. Now, this new segment will tell you what to do about the technology that you have. You know, sometimes you have all these devices, cool tech things that are surround you, but you don't know exactly, you know, what to do with it. Well, on this segment, we tell you how to. So if you have some gadgets out there, or you have, you know, something that is tech related and you're not sure exactly how to go about operating it, or, you know, you just want some explanations, basically this segment is dedicated for that. We also from time to time be explaining some of the most common phrases, the expressions and the concepts in the world of technology. Today on how to, we will tell you about how to be safe on the internet, and we're specifically looking at spamming and phishing.
We all want to be safe on the internet, and today we are looking at how to stay safe from spam and phishing. Be on the lookout for phony free offers, clickbaits, online quizzes and spam emails that may just be a way to get your online details. Some of these people sell your information to marketers. So the next time you see that pop-up message asking you to give certain permissions, remember, you may be given access to some delicate information that you may not want out there.
And that's it for the how-to segment. Dashing on straight into our main conversation for the day now, cryptocurrency and its many manifestations, Bitcoin, Cardano, Ethereum, you know, whichever one it is, it all tends to get rather baffling and confusing at times. But, you know, we try to wrap our brains around it on the show today. However, it appears that there is the rest of the world that is very interested in cryptocurrency, no matter how confusing it might be to quite a number of people elsewhere in the world. Digital currencies are built on top of blockchain technology, which was an issue that we discussed last week. But then the big question is, why are more and more people getting more and more confused about cryptocurrencies or Bitcoin or whichever one it is? Why does it seem like every day you ask someone, what does cryptocurrency mean, they seem to be getting more confused as the day go by? Well, that is why we are going to have the conversation on the show today. Now, my guest today, who will help us unpack these issues, is a technology enthusiast with a strong belief that the blockchain technology is the next big thing. Now, his passion is to see Africa take on a much more active role in adapting these new technologies, which is part of the disruption of everything that is around us. Daniel Opunifrimpong is my guest on the show. He's a sales manager, enterprise business at Haptel Ghana. Daniel, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you, Philip. Thanks for having me.
It's a real pleasure to have you today. And I remember clearly when Ernest told me that, you know, he has a gem in his office who absolutely adores this topic. And it was really exciting to be connected with you. Thank you so much for making us on the show.
Thanks so much.
Let's start off where everybody probably wants to start off. What exactly is a cryptocurrency? What is it? And what is the essence of it?
All right. So, thanks for having me, and I'll start this way. So cryptocurrencies are basically digital assets which are designed as a medium of exchange, and they use cryptography. Okay, now the reason we use cryptography is basically to secure transactions, make transactions very safe. It controls the creation of additional transactions. Okay, so with that, what it means is nobody can illegally create illegal transactions, basically. And then it also helps with the verification of transactions. Now, in simple layman's term, I would explain.
Yeah, because for a second I was wondering, what do you mean by cryptography?
Yes, and, yes.
You know.
So cryptography, I'll call it a form of language. It secures whatever you are writing in programming. But I'll try and explain cryptography or cryptocurrencies in a very simple way.
We would love that.
Yes, I'm sure your listeners and our listeners would find very useful.
We would love that, trust.
So let's look at it this way. Let's say I own a bank.
Okay.
And my bank has 500 customers.
Okay.
And these 500 customers, they love to bank with me for three specific reasons. The first is this. When they come to me, I give them an account and I give them a certain secret code that they can access the account with. Now, with that secret code, they are the only ones who have access to that account. Nobody else does. That's the first thing. Now, the next thing is this. If they perform a transaction on the account, everybody within the network sees a certain transaction has been performed. What that secures is it prevents a situation where people can just go in there and perform transaction anonymously and nobody gets to know this transaction has occurred.
Okay.
So when a transaction occurs, everybody within the network gets to see that, okay, this transaction has occurred. Now, the final thing is this. Though everybody within the network sees a certain transaction has occurred, nobody knows who is performing those transactions. Now, if I go to my bank now, my typical banks, and I have an account with my bank, there's a fair chance that my branch manager will know that, okay, Daniel Opunifrimpong has an account with us and he has this value in his account. But with cryptocurrencies, my bank manager knows somebody has a certain value in an account with us, but we don't know who that somebody is. And I don't even have access to that account as a branch manager. So if there's a mistake, there's no way I can go in there and reverse a transaction as a branch manager. I don't have access to it. I don't know who has access to that particular account because he has a secret code. Unless he gives that secret code to somebody else, nobody has access to that account. That is the basic explanation of cryptocurrency. We put it this way. So when you have an account, let's say you have a Bitcoin account. I'm sure you're going to go to Bitcoin. So if you have a Bitcoin account, you don't have access to that account. When you have the secret code to that account, nobody else does. Unless you compromise that secret code and then somebody gets it. And you are toast. Let me put it that way.
So you talked about having an account.
Yes.
When a transaction happens, everybody within the network or within the branch knows that a transaction has happened.
Exactly.
But then nobody knows exactly who
performed the transaction.
And that's the basis.
Basics, yes.
Of what cryptocurrency
is. Exactly.
But that's simple enough, isn't it?
It is very simple. You see, I'm sure the confusion is really from the fact that it's still early days yet. In the whole blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, it's still in the early days yet. If you ask me, I think we are still formulating it. It's still growing. New things are going to come up. And for most people, the idea of having your money on, let's say, on an app on the phone, and they hear stories of people having their accounts being hacked and all that, it scares them. So they never even take the chance to at least go in there and find out what cryptocurrencies are.
But then even in your bank, your account is still hacked.
Exactly, exactly. So that is a fear. But the good thing is people are becoming much more open to it now, because in my conversations day to day with people, when you ask them about Bitcoin, at least they've heard it on the news. They are eager to learn more about it. So gradually that is changing. It will take time, especially in our part of the world. It's going to take time, but I know eventually we will get there.
People, I mean, and we'll get into the conversation about the value rising and the value falling and all these confusions and everything, but why should anyone of us in Ghana or anywhere else consider getting it, like, should actually decide that this is what we should be considering, like, in terms of doing? Because there are some countries who have adopted it, like, on a very national scale. Why should we be thinking as a community of people in Ghana or wherever to adopt this, you know, new technology?
You see, the thing is, I have a strong belief, and I'm very hopeful I'm right, that eventually the technology behind cryptocurrency, the blockchain technology, is really going to disrupt most of the things we do. And when we get to that stage, it's going to be like the way the internet is now. There's no way you can do anything in an office without the internet. And that is what I feel the blockchain tech is going to be in the future. So there are a lot of writers and experts who call the blockchain technology the internet 2.0. Because they feel it's going to be the next thing after the advent of the internet. So for me, it's just like we being in 1991,
right,
where the internet was spawning, so, and everybody was talking about it. And
you were sitting back, scared of us.
Very scared.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people were scared of the internet because all we could think about the internet was people frauding people, people, you know,
even the fact that you didn't understand what exactly you're dealing with.
Yes.
And quite frankly, quite a number of people even today still don't have a full understanding. They know is that you must be a part of this. Otherwise, you're going to be out of the game.
Right. So I think that's where we are. We're in the 1991s of the internet with cryptocurrencies now. And we are going to get there, you know, where you get to a new office and then somebody has a PC that has internet. We're going to get there where, if not everybody, majority of people are going to know what cryptocurrencies are, what the blockchain tech is.
What are the points of confusion for you in terms of your interactions with people when it comes to the issue of cryptocurrency? And from here, we'll jump into the whole issue of Bitcoin and all the others. What are some of the key points of confusion for most people when it comes to cryptocurrency?
I think well, there are too many cryptocurrencies now, over 1,000 of them now. And the other thing is, for most people, they get to hear, especially our Bitcoins, when it's all over in the news, when the price was skyrocketing, and everybody was talking about it. When you listen to radio, you go on the internet, everybody's talking about Bitcoin price going up, and then all of a sudden, it start plummeting, start going down, and then they're wondering, okay, so if I put money there, I'm down.
The value today.
Exactly. So because of all this, people are a bit scared to even test the waters, if I should put it that way. But that will change. Like I said, it's going to change, especially when education keeps going on, and people get to really understand what this whole tech is about, and the future this tech has for the world.
Well, listeners, I do hope this is making a lot of sense to you. Quite frankly, for me, it's so simple that it's annoying that it has taken some of us this long to kind of figure it out. Well, you're still tuned into City Trends on 97.3 to TFM, and we are having a conversation about cryptocurrency on the show today with David Opunifrimpong. Now, David is a sales manager sorry, Daniel Obunifrimpong. I don't know why I keep doing that. Sales Manager, Enterprise Business at Haptel Ghana. You can share your questions with us on WhatsApp. Our WhatsApp number is 054-998-6996. Or on Twitter, just simply use the hashtag CityTrends and let's get some answers for you. So in what we know that Bitcoin is the most popular.
Yes.
We have also heard about Cardano and Ethereum. Yeah. And quite a number of other. What sort of other manifestations do we see cryptocurrency in?
So there are, like you said, almost over 1,000 Bitcoin cryptocurrencies now, and each cryptocurrency has specific use case.
Okay.
So you go in there and you find cryptocurrencies for the dental, for dentists, DentaCoin. It's there. I'm sure you've not heard of it.
Nope.
It's there. There's a cryptocurrency for telecoms, Telcoin. And the whole idea of Telcoin is to decentralize the whole mobile money transaction we find here in Ghana, but only send a bit global now.
Yeah.
And Telcoin is looking at doing that. There's Electronium, and the whole idea behind Electronium is gaming. Huge gaming industry. Mm. They are looking at how to monetize the gaming industry. So when you play games now and you win some gaming points, it really has no value. But Electronium will change that in the future. So if you go play your whatever game you play, you win some gaming points, it has monetary value that you can redeem and actually spend in real life. So so there are several cryptocurrencies and they have use cases. But that notwithstanding, there are some cryptocurrencies which are like whack.
Okay.
That nobody should really be, because they have no value, you know, except for the fact that they're also called cryptocurrencies, basically. Right. Yeah. So you really have to look at the use case of the cryptocurrencies before you even look at putting money in there or considering, you know, investing in there. Yes.
So I mean, if for example someone walked up to you and said, okay, so I'm considering some cryptocurrency, I want to invest in it, which ones would you advocate currently for anybody to start seriously considering?
So I hope quite a number of cryptocurrencies, and they've done pretty well. Yes. So for me, I wouldn't even advise Bitcoin now. Okay. But I use Bitcoin as my means of getting other coins.
Okay.
Because the thing is, you can't get other coins without Bitcoin.
Mm.
So you have Bitcoins and you go on the exchanger and then you're able to exchange for other coins.
Okay.
My top five pick, I own Electronium, quite a number of them.
Mm.
I own Telcoin, quite a number of them. I own Envion, quite a number of Envion. I own Cardano.
Okay.
I own Ripple.
Okay.
And Ripple is a very special cryptocurrency to me. Yeah, it has a great future. And then which one do I have? Storyqua.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now the emergence of new cryptocurrencies, like we've talked about, gives us a sense that the growth of this space is like, it's, you can't even measure.
Exactly.
You know, now is there a standard that all these cryptocurrencies are working towards, or everybody is just deciding on what they want to do and going ahead with it?
I think, okay, so there's really no standard, there's no regulation in the crypto space. Yes, and that makes it a bit rough.
Yes, very.
Yes, so
it gets me very worried.
Yes, there's no regulation.
But you answered this one, and we can answer the
yes,
the standardization
yes,
issue.
Yes, yes, there's none yet. But with that said, what I always advise is, you don't just go in to invest in a cryptocurrency or buy a cryptocurrency. What you should be looking out for is, what is the real life use value of that cryptocurrency? What I mean by that is, what problem is that cryptocurrency trying to solve? Because it's only at that point that the cryptocurrency would gain value and consistently gain value. If it's solving a real life problem, a real life issue. Like I said with Telcoin. The whole idea of Telcoin is, okay, mobile money, we know in Ghana is big. But how about we having mobile money all over the world? So if I have somebody on Sprint in another country, and I am MTN mobile money and I needed to send value, I should be able to send value.
Right.
It shouldn't cost me going to Western Union to do that. I should be able to do that value. And it should be cheap. It shouldn't cost me too much. And the person should get value instantly. That is the whole idea of Telcoin. So with a coin like this, it has real use case value behind it. potential to go would be there. Potential to fall might also be there. But like I said, you'd always look out for coins with value. Otherwise, you don't go in there. Because there are some which really, when you look at, you study their white paper. And the white paper usually is what, it's like a business, the business document behind the coin. When you read the white paper and you study it, you realize this has no value. It's useless.
It's just not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere. You don't put any money in there. Yes.
Now, back to the issue of a central sort of governing body. If everybody is shooting off doing whatever they like, and like today I'm upset Bitcoin doesn't look nice, I don't like their logo, I'm going to do my own, like, I mean, how does that work? Because I mean, the only way I can trust a system is I know that if anything should go wrong, there's someone there who would basically, you know, like happened with the banks recently and everything, where the central bank sort of stepped in. If I don't have a central governing body to make sure that everything is kosher, everything is really nice, if there's any issue, someone can step in and save all of us. How do I go ahead and risk into something like that?
I think that the main issue cryptocurrencies are trying to deal with is the issue of centralization.
Right.
So cryptocurrencies are basically looking at decentralizing. So there's nobody that sits in the middle and controls the way coins are produced or generated. That is the whole idea behind cryptocurrencies. I totally agree that there are people out there who are taking advantage of the fact that there's no institution regulating cryptocurrencies and doing all sorts of unscrupulous things in them. But then again, what will happen, and it's already happening, is you'd find those coins come in and they don't last.
But that's the thing. Someone has already committed
money,
you know,
there,
certain funds to it.
Yes,
they are going
yes,
to lose.
Yes.
That, and I mean, genuinely, if someone is sitting somewhere in a billing bay right now and
a
considering, like, and you're going to put some money into it, that's a very dangerous thing.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
they don't, if they can't have confidence, and I believe that's where a lot of people have, you know,
the reservations yeah.
with
yeah.
cryptocurrencies. If it doesn't have a central governing body or some place where you know that no matter what happens, someone can step in and make sure everything is going on as it should. And I mean, like you said, anybody can say,
right.
learn how to come up with some crypto coin currency type thing. And if their white paper kind of convinces you, then you kind of feel that, you know, something is happening. Like, for example, Ethereum, when you look at their white paper, it's great.
Yeah.
It looks really good. They
yeah.
at every stage of their development, they have, you know, all these scientists and all these researchers coming together to write, you know, everything down. So it looks very legit.
Exactly.
It
exactly.
looks great. But what if it goes bust tomorrow morning?
Yeah, you what? Yes, when it goes bust, you're toast. You're gone. But like, so it would be great. It would have been great if we had like maybe not an institution, but a way to check. Okay. Unscrupulous people getting into the network to do whatever they want to do, just with the sole purpose of duping others. That is not available now. So the only thing we have is, before you get into any cryptocurrency, really find out who is behind it. Do your own background check. It's very necessary. Do your own background check. Check what problem this cryptocurrency is trying to solve. Yes, because if it's really solving a real life need and there are credible people behind it, which you can always find. If there are credible people behind it, if you check the background of those backing the coin and it's fishy, you don't go in there. You don't even try it. But if you check the background and it's solid and you're comfortable with it, then you can dip your toes in the water.
So try and error.
To some extent, yes.
What's money?
Yes.
That's
yes,
a lot. Okay, anyway, people argue sometimes that transactions on Bitcoin, for example, are currently slow and expensive due to protocol limitations and overwhelming demand. Now, Ethereum is also said to be in its infant stages and cannot be trusted fully. So, it doesn't look very promising.
So, you see, the truth of the matter is the main reason Bitcoin was created, it was losing it. Okay, so the whole idea was to speed of transaction and then the cost, very low cost of transaction.
If I need money now, I should be able to get it. If I need value to purchase something, I should be able to get it.
Yes. But that is gradually losing because the traffic on the network was becoming extremely high. Absolutely. It's not an excuse anyway. But for me, that's what I see things. Mm. So if we look at Facebook and we look at MySpace, MySpace started this whole social media. It was in there before Facebook came in. Mm-hmm. But Facebook came in with a much better value proposition, and it took over the business for MySpace. I strongly believe, with all the difficulties Bitcoin is facing, there might be a coin. Maybe it's available, it's still going, or it's yet to come in. That will solve the challenges, because Bitcoin has challenges. Anybody who is transacting Bitcoin will tell you
genuine challenges.
I mean, performing a transaction, it takes too long to confirm, and the fees can be extremely high. Though fees are a bit low now, they are lower than they used to be back in December. Because in December, you do a $100 transaction, and charge Google like $50. Mm. It didn't make sense. But they are low. They are very low now, yes. So I feel there will be a coin. Maybe that coin is available. Maybe it's here to come in. Mm. That would solve the basic issues Bitcoin has.
Mm.
Okay, and that might overtake Bitcoin. It could happen. Maybe now, next year, next 2 years, there's that possibility. And I really look forward to that possibility.
Well, fingers crossed for that possibility to come to. Now, we hear a lot about mining. Can you explain what all of that is about?
Okay. So mining is simple. When I perform a transaction on, say, Bitcoin, I perform a Bitcoin transaction, this is what happens. Let's say I send you $100 worth of Bitcoin. Now, that transaction, that value I sent to you has to be authorized within the network. Let me put it that way in layman's terms. Now, in authorizing that transaction, a certain mass mathematical equation is generated. Now, that mathematical equation has to be solved. So everybody within the network attempts to solve that mathematical equation. Now, the person or the system that is able to solve the equation the fastest. So when you solve the equation, it means you basically confirmed the transaction, the value I sent to you, you confirmed that transaction. And then for going through the hassle of solving that mathematical equation, the network rewards you with a certain value. That's for your effort in solving that mathematical equation, we give you some value. So that's basically, mining is solving equations in the whole blockchain network or the whole Bitcoin network. That's the basis of
that's
mining.
It.
That's mining, yes.
So the ones with the higher computing powers
exactly
get rewarded.
Get rewarded, yes.
And so is that why, for example, we have certain high capacity computers around the world being hacked just for the purpose of mining?
Exactly. So you see, in the early stages, you could mine on your laptop. But now you can't because the capacity is way too low. So then you have mining farms. And the heat they generate, mostly most mining farms are in Iceland, very cold, you know, climate, because they generate too much heat. People are now finding technologies to also harvest that heat for energy other somewhere. Purposes, so that is also coming up. But the network is becoming a bit complex now that it takes quite a... And that's all affecting the reason why transactions take a bit of time to confirm. Because now there's so many people in the network. And when a transaction happens, going through that process of certification, that's mining, it takes time, basically, yes.
Well, I do hope you've picked up a thing or two. Let's get to a comment. Joseph in Bulga says, how do you deposit cash into your crypto account?
All right, so what you do is, you first need to have a wallet. And there are several wallets. You could just go in there and then get one. It's free. You go on the Play Store, there are several wallets you can get, but just be careful you are getting the right wallet. And then you look for an exchanger, and there are several exchanges now in Ghana. You send them your cash, and then they will send you the value of cryptocurrency you are purchasing. So if it's Bitcoin, they send the Bitcoin value. If it's Ethereum, they send you the Ethereum value.
Well, I do hope that puts a lot of your questions out of the window. Let's get to some comments also on Twitter. This comment here is is it's kind of taking a while to load, unfortunately. What accounts for the volatile rise and fall of these cryptocurrencies, as we saw a couple of weeks ago? Again, what happens after we are finished mining for Bitcoin as predicted in the next 100 years?
So let me take the volatility, and then I'll take the next one. So it's all an issue of demand and supply. And so many factors affect demand and supply. Let me give a typical example. So anytime there is bad press, so you hear of South Korea banning Bitcoin, and it's a huge market for Bitcoin, it generates a lot of bad press. Now, when that bad press goes in there and everybody's talking about it, demand is low. When demand is low, price is going to go very low. When there's good press and everybody's saying good things about Bitcoin, then the value begins to shoot up. Demand is high, the value begins to shoot up. Now, there's one other thing too that is and that is one danger that Bitcoin sits on, and I'll be honest here, is there are quite a few number of people with high volumes of Bitcoins. High volumes. And in fact, there's a data out there that suggests about 1,000 people or 1,000 entities, it could be an individual or organization, that controls high volumes of Bitcoins. What that happens is, because these guys control huge volumes, they're able to drive price. They're able to get price either down or either up, depending on what suits them. Right? So those are some of the things that really causes the volatility in Bitcoin pricing. It's demand and supply, yes.
I see. I mean, and he talks about predictions, next 100 years.
Yeah, so in fact, by 2140, no new Bitcoin will be produced. In fact, by then, all the 21 million Bitcoin would be in use by 2140. Now, what that means is this, and it's one of the things that's going to drive the value, because if there are no new Bitcoin produced, just the 21 million circulating all over the world, if it has a high demand, it's going to drive value. In fact, that's why analysts actually predict Bitcoin could go to like 100,000. It's possible, it's not possible, I don't know. Because there's going to be a time where there's no new Bitcoin produced, and that scarcity has the potential to skyrocket the price. Yes.
Well, that's a future I don't want to envision at the moment, especially when there's no central governing body. Hi, this is a message from Stephen. Please, what's the best way to hold altcoins like Ripple or alternate coins like Ripple, since you can't do it in the major wallet? Which one will your guest recommend?
All right, good. So it's true. On Ripple, for instance, you can't hold on many wallets. You can hold Ripple on the Genesis wallet. So you could look at the Genesis wallet, yes.
Okay. So Stephen, I hope you know that solves your question. I mean, for me personally, I'm holding off because I'm not really sure. But this conversation has really put a lot of questions to rest. It's given us a good understanding of where we can build off from. And I think that's very, very important for my listeners and for myself as well. In case I do get to the point of making some investments in Bitcoin. Well, sure. Daniel, it was such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for all the knowledge that you shared with us, and I know that we'll be coming back to you when we decide to make any investments with cryptocurrencies. It was such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so
thanks much. So much for having me, Philip.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Okay, so getting straight into the conversation about the apps, and it's the app segment on the show with Jeffrey Oriakusapo. Jeffrey, good evening to you. What do you have for us this evening? I hope it's something ultra special.
Good evening, sir. Okay, so
let me guess, we're not going to have very exciting apps today, are we?
please. Daniels, please play my Ghana Talk.
So Ghana Talk is our first app.
Yes,
today.
Daniels, please play. Okay.
My name is Yusuf Da Silva, and I'm a software developer here at Cyphertext Company Limited. So the app we are talking about today is Ghana Talk, and it's spelled G-H-A-N-A-T-O-K. So it's Ghana as in the country Ghana, and Talk, T-O-K at the end. You can find Ghana Talk on the Apple App Store for iOS devices and on the Android Play Store for Android devices. Ghana Talk is a collection of stickers used to express emotions. And basically, stickers are different from emojis that you find on chatting apps like WhatsApp and iMessage because they are illustrated to convey a certain emotion. And these ones that you find in Ghana Talk are customized to the Ghanaian culture. They have expressions that are only used in Ghana, and they connect better with Ghanaians. And you can use Ghana Talk to share them on iMessage, WhatsApp, Telegram, and Viber, among many others.
So Ghana Talk, G-H-A-N-A-T-O-K. Basically, it is stickers and just helps messaging. So it's a messaging sort of accessory of sorts.
Made in Ghana stickers.
Made in Ghana
support
stickers.
Support the local economy.
Yes, indeed. That's very important. So go check it out. Ghana Talk, G-H-A-N-A-T-O-K. Download it and get messaging with it. Get original. So, you know, your messages look a little bit original and very different from everybody else's. So, Ghana Talk is our first mobile app for today. What's our second mobile app?
Google Translate.
Google Translate. Ooh, yep. Nice.
Yep.
Tell our listeners about it.
So, let me start from the PC. Now, when you open a website on Google Chrome, if you notice and then it's not in English, Google will ask you if it should translate. Mm. And then when you say yes, it will translate the page into English for you.
Mm.
Now, imagine this and some other things on your phone. That is what Google Translate on Android and iOS does.
I am interested in the other things.
Okay. So, when you're connected to the internet, it can translate in 103 languages. When you're offline, 59 languages.
Wow.
Yep.
Offline
59.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
And I actually heard that you can point the phone's camera to something and it translates it as well.
Let's say there's an article in Chi.
Right.
So I point my phone to the thing and then it will translate the text that my phone camera is capturing into the language that I want it to be in.
Hmm.
And then I read.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Google Translate. There's and I hear thing. There was an update recently, so it makes it even awesome. You were saying?
You can handwrite and it'll still translate.
No way.
Yes way.
Okay, listen. So you go out there, just download Google Translate and check it out. Try it out. Because this is awesome. This means like you can travel to
wherever
so many
you want to
places
go.
And like you said, offline is 59 languages.
59 languages, yes.
That is awesome.
Do you want me to give you some of them?
No, it's okay. I will download it and check it out myself. That is pretty awesome. That's something special. Google Translate is your second app for this week. And Ghana Talk, G-H-A-N-A-T-O-K, is your first mobile app. Do check it out. Let us know on our WhatsApp number 054-998-6996 your thoughts about the mobile apps for this week. It looks like people have already downloaded Ghana Talk. Patrick in Ibri actually says, I love it. And it's as simple as that. He absolutely loves Ghana Talk. So you go ahead and download it as well. Coming up right about now is the trending segment of the show with Farida Shaibu. Hey. and it's the trending segment of the show. And this part of the show is where we talk about the latest tech stories making the rounds. And for me, one of the biggest stories of this week is Galaxy S9 and the 9 Plus. Big one. All the digs at Apple. Yes, we saw it and it was pretty interesting. I had the opportunity to actually interface with the device. Unfortunately, I missed it, so I just, you know, sat in my little corner and watched the outdooring of the device. Really interesting device, really nice, really solid. Not much of a difference between the S8 and S9, except, you know, the camera that they've bumped up and made it look really cool. But it's a very, very nice device. Interestingly,
I don't want to talk about it. Because we always get to talk about it. Very nice, very this, very that. I don't even touch it.
Okay, so this was happening. Samsung says they are going to be on the show in the second week of March. When the device comes together,
they should bring us one. I don't want to hear anything. They should just bring us one. At least I should test it for a year,
guys.
I should test it for a year,
Daniel.
I should test it for a year.
You did hear about?
I should test it for a year.
S9.
Yes, I did.
Your initial thoughts.
I'm thinking it's really not different from the S8. Mm-hmm. It's really not different from the S8. Last thing has much better camera.
Yeah.
Yes. Aside that, everything else is almost like the S8. But I'd really want to have one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on using, I would be able to tell.
So you and Farida are in the same boat.
Yes.
Okay.
Just for a year.
I have a suggestion for the Samsung guys. Please, when you bring it, leave it here. Philips use it for a month. Farida uses it for a month.
I don't like for a month. I want.
Wait. I use it for a month. When we are done,
I get to keep it.
Then we
So in the second week of March, Samsung will be on the show for us to review the S9 and the S9 Plus. We might not get to keep it, but we'll definitely be reviewing it on the show. That is when it officially becomes available in Ghana anyway.
Okay, let me give them a better deal. That is 9, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just reduced. They should bring me the 8. This is fast. They should just bring me the 8. So
okay. So apart from the Samsung device that was released this week, which other stories caught your attention?
Well, like you said, there's Samsung, and let's look at the market share. Right. And then for 2017.
Okay.
So manufacturer Samsung had a lot of money. You know, 317.7 million. That's the 2017 handsets that were shipped. And then Apple came around 215.8 million.
Okay.
So Samsung market share was 21.7% in 2017. And Apple 14.8%. And then Huawei 10.6%. And that had 154.2 million handset shipments in 2017. So they had a good, when sometimes, you know, people talk about Apple and Samsung, and the Apple users think that they are all there, but still, we like our Android, see, we like our thing. Samsung.
It's very interesting the comparison between the devices that were shipped in the market share. But when it comes to the actual amount of money. Apple always leads.
Exactly.
It's interesting. Yes. And it's interesting how, for example, the S9 has been positioned as an enterprise or a business device, sort of trying to capture that same market and that same market value in terms of physical cash that is paid for a device. And I think that that's what, you know, Samsung is gradually trying to do, because with their A7 and J7 and all
these
others,
it's a lot. It gets confusing.
It's natural that they will ship more devices. Exactly. It's natural that they will have more of the market share.
Yeah.
But in terms of the physical cash that they bring Apple finds a way, funny enough, to always come up ahead. But it's interesting, the top three, Samsung, Apple, and Huawei.
Yeah, obviously.
Very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. Okay, diving straight into other stories.
I wouldn't want to say it's early days yet, but I'm not surprised that drones are now taking over runway models. Huh? It's quite interesting.
Very interesting.
I saw that story. Very interesting. Like, it was my story.
I watched
the
video and it was
my story of the week.
I don't want to say it was beautiful, because come on, you have to feel pity for people who, you know, invest a lot of time
of all the industries that can be disrupted.
It was like the modeling agency.
I'm wondering right now,
and you can see the bags.
If there's a modeling agency, and like the drone makers will have to bring their drones in for them to check the space.
But
you know, so the drone has
but
to have.
Interestingly,
I'm just wondering.
But they were used at a point. First of all, you know what they did? You know, with drones. So the organizers, of course, of the runway, Dolce and Gabbana, mm-hmm. were supposed to, yeah, do some, you know, they were supposed to bring some new products. So they marketed their bags, and you know, they had these small bags they put on the drone. What happened was that they had everyone's Wi-Fi and hotspot and everything off, so that it doesn't interfere. Okay. So that sort of delayed the show a bit, and everybody was wondering, what are they coming up with? What are they bringing? You know, turn off the Wi-Fi, and they go like, oh no, you know, I wouldn't want to turn off my data or anything. So it was quite, you know, confusing for some people. So that took a while. But even when the drones came up on the runway, if I should say, they had models, you know, on the side, just so that if anything goes, if someone falls off, they just catch it. So of course, but that's still useless.
It's interesting. But that's, it's very a show off. It's really innovative from Dolce and Gabbana. And I must say, like, you know, we keep talking about how artificial intelligence, you know, is changing,
disrupting everything.
Mm-hmm. It's a new technologies come up every day, and it's very interesting that a fashion house, a traditional fashion house like Dolce and Gabbana, has decided to use this new technology to sort of outdoor something really spectacular. And it's what everybody is talking about this week in the fashion world. So kudos to them for taking a very giant leap. Risky.
Very giant
But it's really cool that it's quite risky. And I can see so many different fashion houses trying to play around with different types of technology.
They shouldn't, you know, just keep the humans out. You know, there are a lot of people, you know, who want to do this. Don't just leave it for, you know, the drones and the robots.
At least the drone, when I tell drone, go straight, turn right,
no,
do a swivel, come back. That's exactly what you do.
But Philip, have you watched the video of the robot strippers?
No, I don't think I'll even try it. Okay. So, Dolce & Gabbana drones catwalk, really, really cool stuff.
Yeah,
I'm really glad it happened.
The video was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to other stories.
So today, that's what we have. We are hearing that there is an iPhone X clone. Yes.
Let me talk about
this. This just reminds me. We are hearing there's an iPhone X clone.
So which the phone costs $149.99. You can use the facial recognition feature that unlocks the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Now this one says it unlocks in 0.1 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. 4 gig RAM.
To some other news. To some other news.
32 gig internal storage.
Something really huge that happened this week. Now Apple has confirmed that it's running iCloud on Google's cloud, and you shouldn't be surprised. Clearly it's about time. It's much faster and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
So just in case you're wondering, Apple this week confirmed it's running iCloud on Google's cloud, and you know, it shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. Samsung of course announced the Galaxy S9, and Nokia went back in time with a new device. They released some new devices, the banana phone.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch Matrix, the phone that they were using in the movie, Neo and the rest of them, well, Nokia has decided to bring it back. But then it's very interesting what's happening with Nokia.
Yeah,
I think they should get serious. I really don't know.
I think they are very serious, actually.
You think? Because,
I think they are now.
Because HMD took over the rights of using
the Nokia
brand.
Yeah.
And I like the way they are gradually eating some bit of the market, because there was a point we had written Nokia off completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then slowly they seem to be gaining ground. Like, it is not as wide as we would want it to be, but then everybody, whenever you hear Nokia, you know you're getting a solid device.
Yeah.
And it seems that they are still banking on that goodwill to come back with some pretty good devices. I haven't tried any of the new ones, but at least I've seen them and they look pretty good.
They need to do more,
because I don't know, I would want to use a Nokia phone, and I'm sure a lot of people, you know, when you talk about the battery, that's the first thing that people will tell you. 3310 takes how many days? 2 weeks or
Well, let's get a final comment. Jay Jerome says, I love the way developers are working lately in this country. We have a brighter future for tech in Ghana. I'm an enthusiast of tech, but passionate in the field of visual art. I appreciate the way developers keep thinking about us in their work. Love your show. Well, we love you too. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. And that will be it. Wrapping up this week.
Hold on.
Okay.
The iPhone X clone is an Android phone. Now you can sign out. We'll
And with that, we draw the curtains down on today's show. All this cloning business kind of makes me wonder what else and who else is cloning this evening. Well, that is it for tonight's show. Big thank you to Daniel Opuni Frimpong of Haptel for his wisdom that he shared with us on the issue of cryptocurrencies and everything else related to it. I do hope the education was good for you as it was for me. A big thank you to Farida and Jeffrey as well. And yes, do watch out for our new segment, the how-to segment. It'll be coming your way every week. And in a few weeks, we'll be having Samsung join us on the show, the Galaxy S9 and the S9 Plus. And of course, at end of March, we'll have the ladies join us for a review of the first quarter of the year. It's going to be packed. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be great. Make sure you stay tuned in to City Trends every week. Every Tuesday, right here on 97.3 City FM. Well, till next week, just remember that the show will be available as a podcast on City FM SoundCloud and on City FM's website tomorrow, and of course on my blog as well. So make sure you go check it out. Till next week, stay techie.